Hi, everybody. I'm Corey Raven. Welcome to Crosstalk Podcasts. What we do here is we try to inspire recovery from addiction and discover a better way. Whether you're considering a life free from substance dependency or you're already on that path, Crosstalk is here for you. Each episode, we do a deep dive into the experiences and stories of people who have walked the walk of recovery alongside experts in the field to enhance our understanding of addiction and recovery. Our mission is simple: to help you navigate the challenges and celebrate the victories along your personal journey to a better life. So buckle up and let's hit the road as we embark on this transformative journey together. This is Crosstalk Podcasts. And today we have an amazing guest. If you're looking for someone who is totally full of shit, if you're looking for someone who does not know what the hell they're talking about, well, you are listening to the wrong Crosstalk episode. I want to welcome a wonderful human being, somebody who helps everybody. Tony Dreher, welcome to Crosstalk Podcast.
Thank you so much, Corey. I appreciate you having me here. It's an honor.
So happy for you to be here. I want to just tell our listeners, the reason we're connected is I read a book by Patrick Kennedy. And Patrick Kennedy was somebody who is in recovery and has talked to many, many people. And his book is a wonderful book that reflects a lot of the journeys of people that he's met and special people. And you're one of those people. Patrick's office said, you know what? You don't want me. You want Tony. So, Tony, here you are. And I'm so happy that you're here.
I am happy to be here. I am definitely grateful to have been a part of Profiles in Mental Health Courage, which is the book where I got to share my experience. And hopefully I gave someone some hope that life gets greater. It gets greater.
Well, you certainly, I've read your story and I want our listeners to find out. I think what we have here is a roller coaster. And at the end of the day, you get the prize at the carnival because here you are sober. So tell us a little bit about how life started out, and you can go as slowly or as quickly through that, because I know there's a lot of meat on the bone, but I also know that you probably want to focus a little bit about what you do day to day now that helps you keep you on the path of living a happy, purposeful life. But things started out, go run with it.
Well, things started out in the beginning for me. Rough. I was grown before my time, I'm going to put it that way. I am the eldest child of six children. So my mom had seven children, and I raised all of my brothers. I can't say where my mom was, because sometimes that's still a mystery to me, right? But I was responsible at a young age. There was a lot of molestation going on. There was a lot of physical abuse. There was a lot of verbal abuse. I grew up in sheer chaos, to say the least. That would put it mildly. And the first opportunity that I got to break free, I was gone.
That was when you were 16?
That was when I met my first set of children. I met their father when I was 15. He moved me into my own home when I was 16. To this day, I still have great love and respect for him, because he freed me from the horrors that was my mom's house. I think by the time that I was 18, I had three children already, and my children were one right behind the other, right behind the other, right behind.
And when you were off the rails with drugs and alcohol, my recollection serves me, this gentleman stepped up and took care of some of the kids.
Well, now, for this gentleman, I was not using drugs at all. What actually ended up happening was, because I was still young, he thought that it would be better to give me an opportunity to live life. And he said to me that he would take the children with him.
Got it.
So we had four children total. And he took, we had three children total. He took two of the children, and my cousin took the last child that we had together. And he moved to New York. I stayed in South Carolina. By the time that I was 19, I was already in another relationship and pregnant with another child. And so I still wasn't using drugs. Me and my child, I met a gentleman. I left South Carolina, moved to Texas in a day after meeting this gentleman. My daughter, my fourth daughter at that time was one, and I left her with my aunt, and I moved to Texas with this complete stranger that I didn't know.
But you weren't using at the time.
And I was not using at the time. He actually turned out to be a great guy. He's a military guy, and he actually turned out to be a great guy. We got pregnant, and I had another child. By the time that child was born, our relationship was over. The relationship was over not because of something that he did. It was me. And he took the baby when she was 3 days old, and I didn't see her anymore. Throughout that time, though, before we separated, I had picked up my daughter that I left in South Carolina. And so I had a one-year-old and a newborn. And this gentleman accepted my one-year-old as his own as well. And so he's great. We still conversate almost every day, 35 years later. I love him, love him, love him. When I moved back to New York, I came with my daughter, not his child, but mine, that I picked back up in South Carolina. Moved to New York, moved in with my mom in the Bronx. And life just started to unravel for me.
What age were you at this point?
Whew, Jesus. If I could remember. I was in my 20s. I'm going to say that. Maybe approximately 24. Approximately. Because I'm not sure. Time kind of gets a little blurred. Especially after the addiction took over.
Which was in your 20s?
I was in my 20s.
In the Bronx or before that?
In the Bronx.
Did you first get high in the Bronx when you came up? So that was your introduction to crack or what exactly?
That was my introduction. If I'm honest with myself, I used with my aunt in South Carolina. Maybe 19, 18. It didn't do anything for me. And so that was just not something that I even count as being a part of my addiction. Life took off for me in addiction. I was in my 20s. By now, I have added more children on. So I had a son. And then I was messing with this guy in my mom's building. And I got pregnant. And this son actually ended up being the guy in the building and not the boyfriend. So I was just all over the place, all over the place. And I met this lady that lived in my mom's building. And I would go to her house on Fridays. I worked, you know, I worked two jobs, and I found something in her house that made me not think, feel, care, nothing, nothing. And for me, it was the best thing going, because here I am back in a place where I was abused. There was no real caring about me. And it was an escape. So,
and what you're talking about is crack cocaine?
Crack cocaine, yes.
And smoking it?
Smoking it.
And it was something that kind of transformed you into this is, I found what I needed.
Yeah.
And you talk in the book a little bit about the intersection of addiction and mental health disorders.
Yes.
And I think you kind of reflect, correct me if I'm misstating it, that the use of drugs for you was something that is kind of a separate thing from the issue of mental health disorders. And we on Crosstalk, and you know, for that matter, in recovery meetings, a lot of people talk about the addiction being the problem. But actually, you know, when you stop using, then you can take a look at what the hell is going on. So I think it's important for listeners to hear a little bit about, you know, going off on a drug-a-log or a drug-a-log, you know, could be interesting, especially with some of the crazy shit that we do. But, you know, you talk a little bit about in the book and how important it was to really identify what the hell a mental health disorder is. You had no idea.
I didn't know.
So talk a little bit about how you came to understand that and what it's meant to you.
As I said, I continued to use. Of course, my addiction was now out of control. I'm homeless. I don't have any of my children, no longer living with my mom. My life had definitely become what they call unmanageable. And I lived to use and used to live. Didn't know anything about mental health. I know I went to prison. You know, I kept getting arrested because I was selling drugs so that I wouldn't have to sell my body. When I went to prison, they were talking about mental health. And for me, I'm like, I don't have a mental health problem. But it was the first intersection for me. For me, I just felt like, okay, the psychotropics that they were giving me while I was incarcerated allowed me to sleep my bit away. And so when I came home, I would come back home and go right back to the drugs. So it wasn't until I came home from prison and the communities talked. Like I'm in a community where we all use. Social Security came up. I was getting public assistance and they told me that I couldn't work and they referred me to apply for SSI. And I met this gentleman and that was the beginning of the rest of my life for me because he introduced me to mental health and started putting these pieces together for me that kind of gave me an aha moment. Like, oh, that's what that was. Or, oh, that's why I felt that way. Or, oh, that's what that meant. I had no idea that mental health was actually a real thing.
Was this Paul?
This is Paul.
Right.
This is Paul. And, you know, when I would get high, I would have horrible hallucinations, like horrible, horrible. And when I met Paul, I didn't meet Paul because I wanted to delve deeper into mental health. I met Paul because I needed him to sign the paperwork
for SSI.
For me to get SSI.
Yeah.
Paul was not supposed to be the person that I met with. The person that I met with was out that day, and I ended up meeting Paul. And let me just be really, really honest to say that I was horrible to Paul. I was horrible.
What do you mean you were horrible?
I grew up in the South, and down South, you feared white people. There was no real camaraderie between us. Like, you were taught to fear.
Paul was white?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I was horrible to him. Like, I would show up when I wanted to show up. I wouldn't make appointments. He would call me on the phone. He would say, hey, you have an appointment. Are you going to come? And I would tell him, no, I'm using. I'm not coming. And I was horrible. I didn't want to hear anything that he had to say.
Well, he was asking for it.
One thing that he never did, though, he never gave up. This was someone that was consistently riding me until I agreed to try the medication. Let me try it. I know what I get when I get high. What's on the other side of not using? What doors are going to open? I was scared to death.
So this is what you described as an aha moment.
Yeah.
Where you decided to just see what else might be available if you happen to open your ears and shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I found out that I was suffering with schizophrenia. Doing the research, the cocktails that I had to take to get down to what worked for me, it was a lot. It gave me moments of wanting to give up. My emotions were on roller coaster mode. I knew what I got when I smoked crack. I had no idea what I was going to get. Now, tackling my life, which was my life, being honest about being molested as a child, being honest about having these children and having no idea where the children were, being honest about me, just being honest and facing myself for the first time because I had no idea who I was. And Paul gave me that freedom to be myself. And he never left my side while I was discovering who I was. Knowing that I wanted a relationship with my mom. And all that I was a dollar sign. Knowing that I wanted to know who my children were.
When you say you're only a dollar sign, you mean to your mom,
yeah.
You were able to generate revenue in bad ways and in good ways. Yeah. And she looked at you as to facilitate things for herself.
Yeah. So, you know, that was a painful process for me. Paul taught me about boundaries and how to put them in place for myself. Getting clean was discovering who I was. I never knew me. I'm still learning me today. I give myself grace today. I didn't know how to do that before. I found out that drugs was the smallest part of my problem. Once I stopped using and allowed myself to go through the process of mental health and getting my mental health addressed, I found out that substance abuse was the smallest part of the problem. There were so many other things that I was running from. I didn't know how to face. I didn't know how to feel. I didn't know what to think. I'm the only daughter that my mom has. All that I want is your approval and your love. And that was something that I had never gotten. There came a point in my life that I knew that no matter what I did, it was never going to be enough.
So it brings up something you mentioned just a couple of minutes ago. Could you talk a little bit more about what you learned about boundaries and how that helped you in your relationships, maybe with your mom and others, and what you do today to use that skill set to your advantage?
So what I do today, I don't do anything for anyone unless I want to. It has nothing to do with where I used to bend over backwards to make someone happy.
People pleasing.
Yes. Yes, because I knew nothing else. My friends, let me buy my friends, let me. If you don't accept me as being me, that has nothing to do with me. How you think or how you feel about me has nothing to do with me. One thing that I will never do is defend a lie. If you say that that's what happened, I'm going to tell you, okay, that's what happened. Because today it's for me, about me. And I stand on that. Boundaries is a very, very, very important part of my life because what I've learned is that I'm a pushover sometimes, right? I don't like to see people sad. I work in a position where I face me every day, right? I can see what a person needs before they even know that they need it. But this is your vehicle. I need you to drive. My car is parked. I'm the passenger in your vehicle. I need you to drive the car.
And just so our listeners understand,
yes,
you having gotten sober and over the years, you've learned a better way.
Yes.
With some help from Paul and other medical people. You're on some medications that help with the mental health issues that you've described. But now you work as a counselor.
I do.
So nobody knows what you're talking about with this. So tell us.
So I currently am the women's specialist. My official title is the women's specialist with the CASES New Start program. And I assist individuals who are arrested on misdemeanor charges. They are mandated to my program. The program is 1, 3, or 5 sessions.
Mandated by the court.
Mandated by the courts. And go figure. I was in the courts and now I work with the courts. And so I work to try and connect my clients to services within the communities, whether it's substance abuse, mental health treatment, chronic homelessness, trying to get you into a shelter. I work. So when my clients come to me, they know they can't get over. Miss Tony knows. And this is what I let them know. Miss Tony knows. If you need to get somewhere, I'm going to assist you with getting there. I will absolutely not do the work for you, but I'll ride with you until the wheels fall off. As long as you're willing, I can assist you with getting where you need to be. But you have to be willing to put the work in. So the great part, right, of being sober, I have some children that I don't know, right? I have some children that I'm looking for. I have some children that I want to find. And then I have some children that I do know that have found me, and we have these amazing relationships, and have some grandchildren, and I'm a Mima, and I get to show up, and I'm so grateful that when I was able to sit down and I said to my children, don't ask me any questions that you're not ready to hear the truth about. My son showed up at my job one day, and he had this little boy with him who looked like him, so I figure that must be his son. And they told me, they called my desk and they said, hey, there's a Michael here for you. I'm like, Michael, I'm looking at the caseload. Well, Michael on my caseload. So when I go up front, it's my son. And I said, hey, sir, like, what are you doing here? You know I'm at work, right? And he says to me, yes, Ma, but you said when I was ready to talk, that you would talk to me. I said, you're absolutely right. I took my son in an interview room. I met my grandson for the first time. And my son started shooting off these questions to me. He asked the questions and I had the answers. So my prayer is that my children that I have not met, the ones that I only got to spend 3 days with in the hospital, when they come, I have the answers. I have the answers. My son and I today, he's in the Army. We have an amazing relationship. His son, we travel. That's my travel buddy. Every year I try to take him somewhere. I just talked to my son and his child's mother, and I said, you guys need to get him a passport. Our next trip, I want to take him out of the country. I have a lot of firsts. I'm finding out that I would have been an amazing mom. I ran from motherhood because I didn't want to be my mom. I don't want to beat my children. I didn't want my children to not have a voice. I wanted them to be their own unique selves. And I didn't trust myself enough to know that I would be a good mom. And so the system and the mom that raised me raised my children. So I'm grateful for every day that my children allow me to be in their lives, in the lives of their children.
So if somebody's listening to our podcast today and they don't know anything about mental health issues, they know they're struggling with addiction, what should they do? What can they do to start investigating what you discovered, a kind of, you know, without really knowing what you were looking at? What kind of things can they do to find out more about what's underlying their alcohol or drug use or any other isms?
I think that, to be honest, you cannot address substance abuse without addressing mental health. Even if you don't know that mental health is the underlying issue. Once you go into treatment, if you're considering treatment, start talking about the things that really happen, right? Start talking about the things that really happen. Because what happens is substance is it's a small part. There's so much more. Go back to those things that you've pressed so far in your memory and see what shakes loose. See what shakes loose. Mental health is a part. Yes, it's a huge part, but I can guarantee you there's something else underneath. No one wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to be a drug addict when I grow up. No one. But a lot of times we suppress so much When I went home, I came back and I said to Paul, I remember the name of the man that used to touch me. I remember my mom used to send me to his house. We need money for lights. We need money for food. You would send me to this man. I know that you know what this man was doing to me.
And when you left and went home, he gave you money and you gave it to your mother.
Yes.
So it's quite obvious.
She would always send me to this man.
You were for hire.
And I remember this man's name finally. When I went home after those 35 years of never, because I never wanted to go back to South Carolina. When I went home and my family and I were having conversations and I mentioned this man, they told me some things about this man. And in that moment, I knew the very things that my mom allowed to happen to me happened to her. No one can make me believe anything other than that. I give her grace. If she needs something, I take care of my mom because I believe that no one ever took the time to find out what was happening with my mom. Who gets pregnant at 14? There has to be other things there. My mom doesn't talk about it. Recently, maybe 3 years ago, she started talking to me about mental health and how she suffered with depression. And she didn't like the way that the medication made her feel. I believe that my mom has a story to tell. I can't be angered at someone who didn't know. Whatever you allowed to happen to me, it happened to you. You cannot give me what you didn't have. So I have to forgive you. I have to forgive you because no one has ever given you that grace. Allow me to give it to you.
So let me ask you something. We don't have unlimited time here because you're on a big schedule and you have a lot of things to do. But there's a question. We ask this question to all our guests, but I don't think I've ever wanted to ask this question to another guest. If you were able to talk to 12-year-old Tony and give her any information, any advice, any cautions, any information, what would you tell young Tony that she needed to hear that you know if you had that opportunity?
I think that I would have to tell her to strap in. We are in for a bumpy ride, but we're going to be just fine at the end of the road. When that ride is over, we are going to be just fine. But strap in, because life is going to throw you some curveballs that you may not be ready for. Strap in.
But it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. We are going to survive. Not only are we going to survive, we're going to thrive. We're going to change lives. We're going to change the world. We're going to change the perspective of how people look and do things to and for other people.
Tony, thank you so much for being our guest on Crosstalk. Really enjoyed talking to you. And you can't help but fall in love with you when you're in your presence. I know that's how you are able to help so many people.
Thank you.
Really, really honored.
That's a mission. I'm grateful for the invite. Hopefully this changes someone's life to give them the voice that I never knew that I had. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. So I'm going to just tell people what they need to do now because I'm a boss. And I'm going to ask everybody, could you please, please follow us, subscribe. We're dying. We're waiting for you to subscribe and follow and smack the bell and give us your comments. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. We want to know and we want to do better. And we're going to be here for a long time. I'm going to be dead. Crosstalk is still going to be here and it's going to be terrific. So thank you so much for watching and thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time on Crosstalk Podcasts.